This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by How I Fuck Podcast.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shiz nights. Inner Hoe Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who's double-cheeked up, double-masked up on a Tuesday afternoon and whose pronouns are she and her.
And Rob, the god, one agender feminist firefighter with a fatty, pronouns they, them, and that day.
Are you British?
I am Peppa Pig.
I've never watched that show.
But you know that daddy. I know you feel it.
No, I don't. I was about to say, is Peppa Pig British?
It's British pig.
Peppa.
Says daddy.
Peppa love.
I don't know if they go that far.
What do you think you're doing, bruv? Anyway. Every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself, my lovely rotating co-host, and Peppa Pig talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we heat you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. Just kidding, Peppa Pig is not going to be in that episode. Sorry. Ooh. Sorry to let you down. This episode we're talking about feeling discomfort on the 1 year Annie of the pandemic. ASMR porn. What is that? We're going to find out. Why International Women's Day is not a girl boss holiday. Twitter's ridiculous pro-UTI advocate. And little bad bitch and much, much more.
If you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so others can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook, and you can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hoe Uprising Community. That's CUMMUNITY. I changed the key on that one. You heard that? Still don't know what's the actual key.
Head to Queen Latifah, help.
She's going to be, excuse me, bitch, unless you're going to fucking pay me.
You got to come after your equalizer shoots, man. Come on, like.
She's going to come with the actual gun and equalize us.
Oh, stop singing my song. She's bust up upside the head. She's not going to shoot us. She's going to bust us upside the head.
What is it called? A pistol whip.
That's a feat, though. Like, got pistol whipped by Queen Latifah. Like,
I take it. I brag.
If you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, and soon to be not virtual workshop once all these niggas are vaccinated. We would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. We got our first segment of the day, and it is this one.
Grandma! Yeah. Are you a hoe?
Music to my ears.
I'm only laughing because of you closing your eyes so gently and nodding your head like that.
It's music to my ears. I really love that drop. Anyway, that is Hoe of the Week. Hoe of the Week is where we shout out the homies who have supported Inner Hoe Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week, we got Corey C, aka Dropkick Murphy, who became a patron on Patreon. Also, shout out to Corey's band Move, which is actually a very dope band, and you should listen to their EP. I will link it in the show notes. We got Susan L, aka Suze, who upped their edge on Patreon, who upped their pledge on Patreon. They're just edging on Patreon.
Every time they up the pledge, it's just getting closer to the climax.
And we got Shamim O, aka Slag, who became a patron on Patreon. If you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname for yourself, here are some things you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written or shout us out on social media. These are some non-monetary ways you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these uncertain times, your monetary support and your stimulus check is going to whatever the fuck you need to do. and interhoparizing is probably not what you need to do. But if you have some spare change after you do what you need to do, yes, you can donate to us by going to PayPal, by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/innerho uprising, the links to which are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon, for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film nights, and for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts, which will probably change to Friday pretty soon. And at any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early and entries to our workshops, our parties, and our pre-episode chats. This pre-episode chat was so...
That's a lot. It's not happening. Talk about a lot of things.
It was aggressive in a really fun way. Mm-hmm. A lot of people came with the smoke. There's rivalries going on. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a whole event based off of a rivalry that's going on in the Patreon community. Doesn't that sound interesting to you? Want to know more? Become a patron. All right. Okay. All right. So let us get into our next segment. It is called Self-Care Tip of the Week, and we've got a little groovy jam to go along with it. This always makes me feel like I've lit a candle. I'm getting on my yoga mat. Self-Care Tip of the Week is a segment where we give you some tips on how to care for yourself. This week is inspired by the fact that we are coming up on our 1 year, or we have come up already on our 1 year mark for the coronavirus-related shutdown / state of emergency declaration here in the U.S. at least. And this is a two-part self-care tip / check-in for folks who may be feeling discomfort related to hitting that mark. I know I have felt some discomfort related to hitting that mark. So a little bit about me. I feel very excited to enjoy things about life that I haven't for the past year, like hoeing and spending time with my loved ones and traveling, but I also feel extremely fucking disturbed, sad, and disgusted and traumatized by the past year. And those are a lot of that's two very different things to contend with. So these are two things that are just some gentle reminders that I'm giving to myself and to all of you who perhaps might be relating to that. So number one is, you are not wrong to feel bad or weird about what seems like, quote unquote, everyone else moving on as if nothing happened. You have just experienced a sustained period, and you are still experiencing, actually, a sustained period of stress and the loss of life, even if it's people you didn't know, the loss of experiences, the loss of feelings of safety, faith in other humans, etc. If you live in the U.S., at least, you are also like probably largely gaslit by your government, who was like, ah, it's not a big deal, and fellow citizens who were like, ah, it's not a big deal. And it is okay to still feel discomfort and be jarred by how quickly it seems like everyone else is up and moving on. So like everybody who's like in Miami on spring break right now, and if that makes you feel weird, it's okay to feel weird about that, because it is weird. We've been weird. Through a very weird thing.
Mm-hmm. Especially Miami.
That could be a whole thing in itself, like ranking the weirdest parts of this country, like the weirdest reactions to coronavirus.
Number one.
Oh, some advice for this that I have for all of you and for myself is to hold space and hold as much space as you need. So write about this. If this is something that is on your mind, set aside time to just think about it. Like after the workday, sometimes I just like dim my lights, I light a candle, and I lay on my yoga mat and I think about anything that I need to think about. Like actually give that intentional time to think. Find like-minded people to talk about it with. So if some of your friends are like, wasn't that weird? Like have a little Zoom hangout, or if a safe in-person hangout or whatever, to talk about all of these things that you're feeling and kind of get it out. Hold a moment of silence, or many, for the people that you may have lost in your personal life, or people who you don't know who have lost. Like a lot of people fucking died. Light a candle at your altar every night. Consume content that helps you process things. So when this pandemic started, two things that really carried me were this show called The Leftovers, which is about 2% of the human population just disappearing, which was very, very poignant in how I was viewing the coronavirus and how the projection said like that many people would die. So like ruminating on that show really helped me to process this time. And then also Parable of the Sower, which is a book by Octavia Butler, which takes place now in a dystopian, not so distant future. So yeah, consuming content that helps you process things to kind of work through your feelings and stuff like that. Part two of this is, you're also not wrong to feel good or excited about the future or to be making plans with your friends and family, so long as they are safe plans. It's possible to hold space for the losses and to also feel happy and feel like better days are coming. My advice for you would be to channel this energy. So make some like post-vaccination affirmations for yourself. Vision board how you envision the future or some goals that you have for this upcoming year. If this has made you feel inspired to change shit, like you're just so disgusted by how the government handled this pandemic, whether local or federal, get active. Look into local groups organizing around shit that you're trying to see in the world. And fantasize is one of my favorite things to do lately, is fantasize with your loved ones about what comes next. So it's like, yeah, you know, niggas, we traveling over here, we doing this and that thing, or this is what our first drink is going to be like, can really be a fun way to kind of ease into this very new next year. And by that I mean this year, but it kind of feels like a reset for the year is happening.
I call it
2022.0. Yeah. So yeah, I hope that helps. You have any thoughts about this, Rob?
Let me go back to notes. You said some shit that was smacking. Like, seriously.
I love when Rob loves my tips. I remember one time I did it was an answer to a listener letter. You were like, I wasn't taking notes fast enough. I was like, oh, the words resonate. Damn.
No, I mean, you said you made points. Points were made. So when you said set aside time to think about it, this was something that I was talking to my therapist about, and not just COVID, even though COVID, it seems to have amplified the things that were already going on in my life. Mm-hmm. And like, she asked me like about a situation, like, oh, so what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, I could do this. I could do this. I could do this. And I'm like, also, I can just think about it right now and stop thinking about it. Because I don't want to think about this all day. I don't want it to be the only thing that I think about. Because it like, it becomes all this shit, you get all these constant reminders and it becomes intrusive. Mm-hmm. So that when every time you talk to somebody new, you have to talk about this thing. And it's like, A, there's nothing wrong with that. But B, it's like, if you don't have to and you could talk about other things and think about other things, it's probably a little bit healthier for your mental state of mind.
Yeah.
So I do... the idea of sitting in Shavasana and having my lights off and saying, this is my time to go through all of the things in my head. And then when I get up from this mat, I'm going to move on with my life. Like I felt that. I really felt that. And the consuming content that helps you process. I've been in the matter of avoiding content that helps me process.
Okay.
But I don't want to do that forever because it's good to be able to explain why your feelings are so.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pandemic, besides of the personal things that have happened, like it really is a big fucking deal, but I can't explain to you why it's a big deal. Because I'm very much caught up in how I've felt and my experiences, which is completely fucking okay, because that's my reality right now. Mm-hmm. However, I know that there are things going on in the world that make it that much shittier. But I haven't spent time in those spaces to really talk about it. So consuming that content, I'm definitely going to check out that podcast, because when you put it in that perspective, people legitimately act like it just wasn't enough people to die for us to care.
Yeah.
And then the post-vaccination affirmations. I've already been vaccinated, but I have not made affirmations that were realistic. I just went to a bar yesterday, a bar across the street from my house. That was something that I've wanted to do for the past year, though. I sat down by myself.
Is that the one we went on for Halloween?
Yeah.
2 years ago?
Two years ago.
It feels like 1 year ago, but
it does, because it feels like this last year did not happen.
I went
back to that bar. We just sat there. I had two drinks.
Did you get the Patron? What did we get again? No, it was a Henny.
Henny Sangria.
Yeah, Henny Sangria.
No, because that shit is expensive as fuck. That shit was OD expensive. No, I got me some regular ass basic bitch drink, but it was good.
Did you steal the pint cups?
No, I should have known that.
Patreon joke.
Insider. But it was just cool to like just be outside. I was by myself, but it was like, huh, this is what it feels like to sit inside an establishment.
To be a human again.
Yeah, because you miss interacting with these things. You miss it. You miss people watching.
Yeah.
Very cool to watch people laugh and just have fun and be around loved ones and stuff. Like, I just enjoy the experience of being outside. So nice. Thinking of setting affirmations to do, because I am vaccinated, that, you know, I can travel more safely, not safely, but mm-hmm. a lot more safely.
Yeah.
And I think that that is worth thinking about. I didn't want to think about it because I felt really guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so guilty thinking about wanting to leave America, because I'm like, I think about killing a whole fucking family in another country because I want to fucking experience something like an escape.
Yeah.
But we are approaching a time that we can do that safely.
Yeah.
So I think it is worth planning a fucking trip and actually going on the trip. Like,
yeah,
I fucks with that. So anywho, I'm going to re-listen to the segment because I think that this is all very good stuff. It's been cool. A rough fucking year.
Yeah. I'm glad that it helped you. One note, Leftovers is a show on HBO, not a podcast. I don't know if you misspoke.
Oh, okay. Show on HBO. Yeah. Got it.
Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you like podcasts about sex, especially if they're about how people of varying identities have sex. So you will probably enjoy the show How I Fuck. I recently listened to an episode of How I Fuck called How I Don't Fuck as an Asexual Woman, featuring Yasmin Benoit. I really enjoy Yasmin's Instagram, so I was really stoked to hear her on this podcast. It's a great and informative episode, and I really appreciate how the show's host weaved in additional context to give the listener a rounder understanding of asexuality. So, for example, the host gave some statistics about how sexual people tend to think that ace people don't masturbate or have a sex drive, and that led into Yasmin being like, nah, I flip my bean, I masturbate. So I thought that was a really good pairing of things. The episode also touches on how hypersexuality tropes specifically impact Black ace people, specifically Black ace women, and other interesting stuff. So How I Fuck is a podcast about how people have sex and why. It explores sexuality and human connection through real stories from people of all backgrounds, communities, identities, experiences, and lifestyles. It's hosted by journalist and producer Natalie Rivera. The show uses interviews and narrations and is currently in their second season. Some other episodes of How I Fuck include How I Fuck as a Professional Dominatrix, How I Fuck as an Intersex Person, and How I Fuck as a Blind Woman. Previous guests include adult performer April Flores, disability awareness consultant Andrew Gerza, and intersex activist Sean Cephia Wall. Upcoming episodes explore what it's like to come out as a burn survivor and what marital sex can be like if you have two vaginas. I'm super excited to tune into those, and a new episode drops every other Wednesday, so you can listen to and subscribe to How I Fuck by going to wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we're going to go into our next segment.
Baby, come through. You deserve rounds tonight.
That's changing next week, though. I have a better bump for it. It's going to be Cardi B. Oh, my God. What is that? Which Akua suggested. But Fuck Is This is a segment and a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. So what's going on this week, Rob?
All right. So I was on Twitter. You know, I'd be on Twitter. And I come across some very interesting takes. Truly, I come across some very interesting takes. And the most interesting take, let me even back up. Niggas on Twitter just be saying shit sometimes for
that,
like,
is true.
Clout. Like, they think that,
yeah,
it's a wild take, wild enough that it'll resonate with somebody and it'll go viral. And it's like, you don't want to go viral for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. You don't want to get ratioed.
About to say, you don't want to get ratioed, because I'm pretty sure this shit got more quote tweet retweets than anything else.
Yes.
It's just niggas just
Which
saying,
is what being ratioed means, if you don't know.
Yes, being ratioed is the version, like, other comments getting more likes than the actual
than your original
posts.
Yes.
Because you niggas be saying some extreme shit. So,
extreme.
What this Twitter user said is, if she go pee after y'all have sex, just focus on your face, player. Loudly crying face. So,
wait, hold on. You misread it. It's focus on yourself, player, not focus on your face. That would make it even weirder.
I legit don't even know what I'm doing right now. I had two drinks last night and I'm hungover. So yes, focus on yourself, player.
And then so, loudly crying faces.
Yeah, all the loudly crying faces. OD loud, like yelling.
Yuck, 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 yuck,
yuck. It's so fucking funny. It's so funny. Oh my God. And so in the history of my journey with peeing, right? I didn't know to pee after sex. I think I found out because you told me.
That is something that I told a lot of people at one point in time.
Because niggas don't be knowing. That's something that, like, probably... You're probably told after you get a UTI.
Yep.
But I didn't have a UTI for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And so I never, like, knew to pee. I didn't understand, like, why people peed after sex. And I also didn't recently know, I didn't know until recently that people with penises should pee after sex, too, for the same reason. I don't know everything, so that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's completely okay. So at first I chalked it up to, oh, like, he just doesn't realize, like, it can prevent a UTI. But then I thought about it, I'm like, no, it says just focus on yourself. So I'm like, okay, that means that he thinks that there's something wrong with it. Yeah. Like, there's something linked to infidelity.
Oh, that's, you know, what he thinks?
That's what I thought, like, because, you know, the just focus on yourself player is, like, on some, basically, like, she's for the streets.
That's true. The good reading of context clues to decipher this bullshit.
Yes, because I had to keep going at it, because I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So I'm like, okay, so...
Does he think that that's having an STI? Does he think that peeing after sex is linked to having an STI?
I don't know. I'm like, or maybe... Like, because then I'm like, well, peeing after this is like to get the cum out. But then I'm like, that doesn't make you for the streets. Makes you not want to have the same
She
child.
Doesn't want to have your baby because she's peeing out your cum. Like, not possible.
I don't know,
focus,
man.
On yourself, player.
To just focus on yourself, player. I need an explanation. I did. I don't think that he actually gave one. He just was like, oh, like, this is Twitter. Da, 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 da. Like, oh, y'all niggas hate shit, man, serious. But
I do want to read that, actually. He said, y'all motherfuckers mad annoying, the niggas and bitches. Why did he have to gender it?
Because he wanted everybody to know.
Shots fired at everybody except for my non-binary homies.
Word.
Imagine he's just an OD non-binary advocate, despite being a fucking silly ass clown. Y'all motherfuckers mad annoying, the niggas and bitches. It's a post. Y'all weird and just a waste of energy. He spelled energy wrong. He said angry. You're a waste of angry.
My nigga is so tight that he can't even function on that.
Yeah.
Niggas angry typing at this point because niggas are chewing him up. Chewing him up. It was definitely in the high category of the wildest takes of 2021. if she does not want a UTI, she's for the streets. I'm gonna just start asking, like, my cis. Like,
what do you
friends.
Think of that? Yeah.
Yeah, like, yo, have you ever had a, like, chick pee after y'all fucked? What'd you think? Did you think she was a whore?
Like, why, in fact, dirty? I did. That's why none of my relationships work out. They always pee after sex.
I don't like
How did you know,
shit.
Rob?
That's so funny. And I don't even, I like, even knowing these things, I usually forget to pee after sex because I fall right the fuck asleep. I'm a fucking baby. But now that he said that, I'm going to make sure I make a
just
note.
Just to make him angry? Make him angry?
I'm going to I'm gonna tweet him every time I do. Yo, just pee
just
after sex.
Pee after sex. That's funny.
What do you think?
For me, peeing after sex is like how I can't fall asleep without a bonnet on. I can't fall asleep after sex without peeing.
I mean,
deeply ingrained it in my brain. Like, I'm punishing myself. Yeah.
I definitely am the same with the bonnet. Because I will have mad anxiety. And I'm like, bitch, just get out.
Exactly. It's the anxiety. It's the self-imposed anxiety.
Knowing that you're going to wake up and all your hair is going to fall out your head. So I should think, like, oh, if I wake up and all of the burn comes out of my urethra, that's on me. So
you gotta focus on yourself, player. Okay. This next segment is called Bae of the Week.
Lo-fi.
Shout out to Wave Ghost.
Nice.
So, Bae of the Week is a segment where we shout out people who we find cool and attractive. This week, we got Mara, aka A That's Mara, on Instagram and at The Little Person on YouTube. The with two E's, so you know it's real. I found out about Mira because recently she was named as a Savage X Fenty ambassador, which is Rihanna's lingerie line. Mira also has dwarfism and is actually Savage X Fenty's first ambassador, who is also a little person. So she's my bae of the week because first and foremost, she's a bad bitch, which is really what the segment is all about. Let me share screen so we can share my desktop. Hopefully there's nothing embarrassing in there.
It's okay.
Teddy Pettygrass. No, that's the guy. Okay. So yeah, that's Mira. Bad bitch. Bad bitch surrounded by money.
I told you. Look at that. Look at all that money.
there's a money lamp.
There's a money lamp. They got a money tree. Halle Berry. I got a money, what is that called? The thing that you put your feet on? A chiffon? No, that's not what it's called. Just a footrest.
Yeah, there's a money footrest. There's a money footrest. Bands. Here's another bad bitch. And then her thang be thanging.
She do got the fucking one.
She's a fat fucking ass. Man,
oh, it's just so much ass.
She doing all this ass.
What are you doing? Double cheeked up. Ass?
On a Thursday afternoon. So secondly, she's a very fun person. Social media wise, she has lots of energy, a lot of goofiness, laughter, and joy. And it's the kind of social media that makes you also want to enjoy your life and not roll your eyes. And I always appreciate those kinds of social medias. Let me stop sharing the screen. And some other facts about her. She's from DC. So you can like hear her accent come out in her videos and stuff like that. I think that's pretty cute. Yeah. So she's a sneakerhead. She does vlogs about that. If that's something that you're into, she loves to dance. She's on this most recent season of Little Women Atlanta, if reality TV is your thing. So you can check out The Good Fine Sis. A, that's Mira on Instagram, and The Little Person on YouTube. The links to both of which will be in the show notes.
Let's get it.
Okay, we're going to get into our segment that we call Fuck That.
Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. Say fuck that shit.
We gotta put that in there too. So Fuck That is our current event segment, and this week we are talking about International Women's Day. Beyond the word women next to a heart emoji, beyond the picture of your mom and your girlfriend, yes. Beyond the nigga who wants clout on social media who randomly says black women changed my life, mm-hmm. and it gets 40,000 mm-hmm. retweets for some reason, beyond the girl bosses, and mm-hmm. beyond the Burger King Twitter jokes,
and beyond Kamala Harris.
Content warning for some discussion on violence against women in this next segment. Please check the show notes to view the time code to skip to avoid this segment. So International Women's Day was last week, and you might think, what is that really? So International Women's Day, abbreviated as IWD, is a global holiday celebrated annually on March 8th to commemorate the cultural, political, and socioeconomic achievements of women. It is also a focal point in the women's rights movement, bringing attention to issues such as gender equality, reproductive rights, and violence against women. IWD originated from labor movements in North America and Europe during the early 20th century. The earliest version was purportedly a quote-unquote Women's Day organized by the Socialist Party of America in New York City on February 28th, 1909. This is not a capitalistic girl boss holiday. Mm-hmm. This particular International Women's Day was pretty pertinent, seeing as how COVID-19 has so disproportionately affected women globally and will have a lasting negative impact on gender equality globally. So just to give you some context, when it comes to labor, I'm going to read a passage from UN Women that I'll link in the show notes. The title of it is COVID-19 and its Economic Toll on Women, the Story Behind the Numbers. So for the past 22 years, actually, extreme poverty globally had been declining, then came COVID-19, and with it massive job losses, shrinking of economies, and loss of livelihoods, particularly for women. Weakened social protection systems have left many of the poorest in society unprotected, with no safeguards to weather them from the storm. As a quote by Jeanette Azcona, the lead author of UN Women's latest report, From Insights to Action, and UN Women's senior research and data specialist. The recently released report shows that the pandemic will push 96 million people into extreme poverty by 2021, that's now, and 47 million of whom are women and girls. This will bring the total number of women and girls living on $1.90 USD or less to 435 million. And also, just to give a little bit more context, like, that number seems even in terms of women and men, but women actually make up less of the working economy. So like the fact that more women are unemployed, like just really shows that disparity there. The pandemic-induced poverty surge will also widen the gender poverty gap, meaning more women will be pushed into extreme poverty than men. This is especially the case among those aged 25 to 34 at the height of their productive and family formation period. In 2021, it is expected there will be 118 women aged 25 to 34 in extreme poverty for every 100 men aged 25 to 34 in extreme poverty globally, and this ratio could rise to 121 poor women for every 100 men by 2030. The resurgence of extreme poverty as a result of the pandemic has revealed women's precarious economic security, adds Antra Bhatt, a statistics specialist and co-author of the report From Insights to Action. She says women typically earn less and hold less secure jobs than men. With plummeting economic activity, women are particularly vulnerable to layoffs and loss of livelihoods. And then, as we've talked about on this show, particularly when the COVID-19 pandemic was just beginning, this pandemic has also led to some really detrimental things when it comes to gender-based violence in women globally. So here's something that provides a little more context also from UN Women. It is a list of some fast facts. So globally, even before the COVID-19 pandemic began, 1 in 3 women experienced physical or sexual violence, mostly by an intimate partner. Emerging data shows an increase in calls to domestic violence helplines in many countries since the outbreak of COVID-19. Sexual harassment and other forms of violence against women continue to occur on streets in public spaces and online. I also want to note, like, particularly violence against trans women. Survivors have limited information and awareness about available services and limited access to support services. And in some countries, resources and efforts have been diverted from violence against women response to immediate COVID relief. And then on top of all of this, kind of like similar to what I just mentioned, women are obviously a varied population of people who face a varying set of oppressive structures that will amplify or lessen the effects of COVID-19 based on privileges or lack thereof. Shout out to Kimberly Crenshaw for coining the term intersectional feminism, which is what that last sentence gets at. Now that we have some context, we're going to look at how things are going for women internationally on this past International Women's Day. Emphasis on the internationally. So I came across an article that was like a roundup by a bunch of journalists over at Global Voices called What International Women's Day Looked Like Around the World in 2021. And I thought it would just be good to kind of get that perspective on what folks are organizing around globally. Ready to take a trip, Rob? Ooh. All right, we're getting
in my airplane. I only got one wing.
We're getting in the airplane. Or maybe we're going by boat. We're trying to lessen the economic impact, but we also have a time
machine, just walking,
so it's going faster. Oh, there we go. Somehow bridges have occurred across all large bodies of water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've walked into Trinidad and Tobago. We have our mask on. I'm vaccinated, even though I'm not, but in this science fiction world, I am. We're in Trinidad and Tobago. So in Trinidad and Tobago, 15 local civil society groups, which included feminist, human rights, LGBTQ+, and social organizations, have conducted a walkout for women on March 8th, and the protesters demanded immediate actions against gender-based violence and commemorated recent femicide victims. So something that's been going on a lot in the Caribbean and Latin America particularly has been this surge of femicides, which is the intentional killing of women because they are women. In Buenos Aires, as well as other cities in Argentina, women and trans people gathered to, what's a better way to say that? Women and non-trans women, trans people. Because, like, the distinction, like, women and trans people is, like, eliminating trans women.
I think when you trans people is encompassing of all trans people.
But mm-hmm. women is also encompassing of trans women. It's like, but women and black people. It, like, eliminates black women.
I don't know. That's a very interesting point. I mean, I get it. So, but I don't know. All kinds of fucking people, including women. And trans people? I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to read it as is, but I think that kind of sentence structure is a little bit problematic. In Buenos Aires, as well as other cities in Argentina, women and trans people gathered to protest against gender violence and the state's failure to prevent femicides, despite reports previously made by victims. And they have people holding up signs that say, "I too like women, but I don't harass them." Isn't it so easy? to not do that. And there's another sign that says being alive should not be an accomplishment. In El Salvador, women marched on March 7th for women's rights and abortion rights, and they performed the song and dance of the Chilean feminist song, The Rapist Is You. I'm gonna play the song. So that song, the lyrics are saying, y la culpa no era mía, ni donde estaba, ni como vestía, which means, and the fault was not mine, nor where I was, nor how I was dressed. In Ecuador, Blanca Chancosa, a leader of the indigenous movement of Ecuador, performed an ancestral ceremony before the National Electoral Council of Ecuador in Quito. Amazonian women issued a collective statement in various communities and organizations marched in several cities of the country. And they tweeted and said, for the rights to land, education, health, to live, no one tires. It is the cry of women. In Mexico, women turned the fences around the National Palace, placed days before International Women's Day, into a monument to the victims of femicide throughout the country. And the monument said things like, Mexico guilty of femicide, legal abortion now, a rapist will not be governor, and things of the like. We all go through these things. Fun stuff. Young feminists unable to take to the streets on International Women's Day protested and staged a sit-in at the Central American University in Nicaragua. They protested against gender violence and the liberation of political prisoners. In Venezuela, women's rights are deemed to have been left behind in the Bolivarian Revolution, so several feminist groups on either side of the current authoritarian rule of Chavismo have come together to demand action. Femicides and impunity around them have increased in the past year, along with poverty. Seeing some thematic through lines here.
Mm-hmm.
In Palestine, expressions of support, appreciation, and solidarity with women's fights for liberation and their rights flooded social media platforms. Meanwhile, Israeli occupation forces raided an event organized by Palestinian women to celebrate identity and heritage on March 8th, arresting two participants. In Algeria, a rally of women protested the country's family code, which is seen to treat women as second-class citizens, took place in Algiers to mark International Women's Day. And someone held up a sign that said, the family code belongs in the trash. I love protest signs. They're so sassy. In Pakistan, the Aurat March, which means Women's March, took place in various cities of the country as the third wave of COVID-19 hit the country. Sheesh. The tweet below was filmed in Lahore, and the shirts depict the ages of rape victims as well as the relationship they had with their abuser. The Aurat March also presented a feminist health manifesto this year to raise awareness about women's health. In Kabul, Afghanistan, Radha Akbar, an Afghan artist and activist, began her 2021 Abarzanan exhibition to celebrate the achievements of Afghan women by giving a tribute to those lost to violence in Afghanistan. Also, Afghans gathered for a street art exhibition at Rebel Art Cafe on March 8th. Oh, she looks like a bad bitch. Get her glasses. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
In Kyrgyzstan, the gathering paid tribute to women who have fought for gender equality. In Myanmar, which recently went through a coup, as Myanmar goes through a military coup, women use variations of the hashtag sarong resistance, alluded to the fact that the civil disobedience movement's protesters hang women's sarongs to block the military, as it is believed that men would lose their spirituality if they touched the sarong. Women have also been on the front lines of the protest. In Jakarta, Indonesia, women and non-binary people gathered under the rain to head towards the presidential palace, yet they could not reach their destination as the police blocked the main road and people got arrested. ACAB. Meanwhile, in Jayapura, West Papua, indigenous women initiated a rally. This march was also stopped by the police. In Istanbul, Turkey, thousands of women came together for the traditional March 8th feminist night walk. They chanted, "We are not silent. We are not afraid. We do not obey." And they demanded the implementation of the Istanbul Convention. The next day, 18 women were taken from their homes at night by the police and detained for participating in the march along with anti-presidential slogans. They have later been released on bail. In Italy, feminists and trans feminists organized strikes in the main city squares. They organized pickets, read poems, sang songs, danced flash mobs, and put up banners. In Zaragoza, Spain, the demonstration was made under strict social distancing rules. There is still a pandemic. In Paris, France, this one is kind of funny to me because it's less like the whitest feminism. And like now we're in France, so like, duh. In Paris, France, there were no physical demonstrations. However, a giant artwork portraying a clitoris was put in front of the Eiffel Tower by feminist activists entitled Gang de Clito, which means clitoris gang.
Gang, gang, gang. I like that.
And yeah, that is the roundup of International Women Day's actions as presented by the folks over at Global Voices.
What'd you do for International Women's Day?
I took care of my womanly self. I didn't do anything. What about you? I know that you're not a woman, but did you do anything to celebrate?
Yeah, I mean, somebody posted a question for non-binary people, like, mm-hmm. how do you feel about this day? Like, what does this day mean to you? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I've lived my whole life presenting as a woman, and I go through everything that cis women go through, or that women go through in general. So, like, this is my day too. Fuck out of here. I mean, truly. So I spent it, for the most part, doing nothing until the end of the day. Oh, because I was injured. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do anything but kind of lay around. But at the end of the day, I did a meeting, an online event, mm-hmm. with a few of the first New York City women firefighters and current women firefighters in New York City and across other states. And they shared a lot of statistics about women firefighters in the past. And now they shared the very violent struggles to become women firefighters, become New York City firefighters, and all of the very fucked up things that they went to. So it was like a really nice oral history lesson. And, you know, they got to get their flowers a little bit. I don't think that they get enough recognition. I think only a few of them do, but it was a very big collective thing for this to happen. But it was nice, you know, to be surrounded by some strong ass women, a couple non-binary people, a trans man. It was nice to be in that kind of space for that day. And my parents joined. That was really cute. I was like, oh yeah, that's my mom. But yeah, it felt good to be celebrated. Even I got some like, oh my God, because I spoke. And they were like, oh my God, good job. And I was like, me? Little old me?
Who has a whole podcast and speaks. Yeah. Yeah, little old you.
Yeah, true. Good point.
That's dope.
I mean, it was just like cool, like to like the first woman firefighter, like thanking me. And I'm like, not that I don't deserve the thanks. It was just like.
You're her fucking legacy, though.
I know. I'm like, I'm there. Those are my ancestors.
Yeah. And like, it's actually really amazing that you get to spend time with them.
Yeah.
And meet them. And like, yeah. Give them flowers and have them give you flowers. That's really fucking dope.
Not all of them are alive, yeah. But a good portion of them are. So they need the love, because by the time I retire, more than likely, most of them won't be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good shit. Happy International Women's Month. A Women's History Month.
Happy Women's History Month. Happy belated International Women's Day. Hope you all learned something. Also, if your country wasn't represented in that roundup, let us know how you spent International Women's Day, or how folks in your country spent International Women's Day, or what that day means to you. Also curious to hear other non-binary folks' opinions about International Women's Day.
I know a couple people on Twitter were just like, they don't know how to feel on that day. It makes them like question a lot about what it means to be a woman, stuff like that. But, you know, everything's a fucking construct. So all this shit is confusing.
Everything is a construct. And it's like, when I was doing not the definition of the day, but what the day means, it's like a lot of marginalized people are unfortunately defined by our collective marginalization. So like, being mm-hmm. Black isn't like a thing genetically and da 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 da, but we all face anti-Blackness. So like mm-hmm. if being a woman, quote unquote, because it's not having a fucking vagina or looking a certain way or something like that. Mm-hmm. Are we all defined by lower wages and like mm-hmm. gender-based violence?
Our collective grief.
Yeah. And it's like, if you are non-binary and you go through that too, then like, yeah, I think the holiday also is talking about you and things that yes. you go through.
Like specifically with Mixed Fixin magazine, which is Queen's magazine from Tea with Queen and Jay, mm-hmm. and how she embodies it as, you know, people impacted by misogyny. Mm-hmm. And that's like really the gist of it in that point. Mm-hmm. People have been impacted by misogyny and patriarchy.
Yeah.
Collective yeah. grief. We love to see it.
Yeah. Queen and Jay also did an episode about their pay Black women segment and how and where to fit non-binary people into that. And there was a lot of feedback from non-binary folks, if that's something mm-hmm. that you're interested in listening to. So I'm going to link that episode in the show notes as well.
Bet.
Okay, is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good ass time?
Yay!
Wow! Resounding cheers from the crowd. We love to hear it. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to subscribe to us or drop 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho. Or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouseuprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, this podcast is really good. You should listen to it. We thank and love you all for your continued support. Let us move on to our last segment of the day. This drop means a lot to both me and Rob. Let's hit it.
Ass to media, I wanna see you watching ass to media. I wanna see you reading ass to media. I wanna see you hearing ass to media.
Ass to very ass. Important. I'm gonna do a drum cover of that. That's what I'm gonna do. Anyway. Ass Media is the segment where we give book, TV, podcast, film, and now porn reviews that relate to sex, love, dating, and or gender. Typically, they are spoiler-free reviews, but this one is a spoilery review, right?
Yeah. There's no way to...
talk about porn.
It's fucking porn. 19 minutes long, and it's porn. You have to... And there's no plot. Okay. So it's not like I'm ruining anything.
All right. So, Rob is going to do an Ass Media about ASMR porn. What's going on?
What the fuck is ASMR anyway? So it's an actual scientific thing, mm-hmm. not a video description. And I didn't know that for a long time.
It's not a YouTube thing?
I really thought it was like just this YouTube thing. I didn't actually know what ASMR meant. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that is a description for type of video. There's a fire literally like a block away. So you're going to be hearing sirens nonstop.
I'll do ASMR in the meantime.
No, I didn't get the tingles. Okay. Damn. So so what ASMR stands for is the fucking police car. Shut the fuck up. It's autonomous sensory meridian response. Mm-hmm. So ASMR is a tingling sensation that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of your neck and your upper spine. So it's a pleasant form of paresthesia, and paresthesia is basically like pins and needles. Mm-hmm. It comes from regular interpersonal interactions that are both auditory and visual, both can trigger a response. Mm-hmm. And also can come from media made with intent to trigger those responses. Mm-hmm. Those are commonly found on YouTube, and I think they have apps for them. Mm-hmm. But then there's also like things that are unintentional that trigger the responses, like media that is unintentional rather. Mm-hmm. Like Bob Ross's painting show Ting, mm-hmm. called The Joy of Painting, that was an unintentional triggering ASMR media. Because of the like the tools clacking and like the paint strokes and the whispering and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it makes me want to go back and watch it again.
ASMR King.
Facts. the original. The OG.
Yeah, the OG, yeah.
So stimuli that may trigger that response are like soft spoken or whispering voice, mm-hmm. quiet repetitive sounds of mundane tasks like turning the pages on a book, mm-hmm. Watching someone attentively execute a mundane task, such as cooking, unboxing things, cleaning, watering your plants. That's my favorite, is cleaning and watering plants. Mm-hmm. And loud chewing, crunching, slurping, or biting, which is what that porn sounded like.
Mukbangs.
Sounded like food, eating food.
Okay.
Hold on. This one is passing by. So in the boom boom room, things like gentle touches of your partners, whispering in the air, aromatic things trigger ASMR too, because it is in fact pleasurable.
Hmm. That's interesting. So I don't think I've ever actually felt that. In response to these videos, I like how they sound sometimes, but I've never gotten that that tingling feeling on the back of my neck hearing all that stuff.
I think it's a matter of, if you really care to find what that feeling feels like, mm-hmm. you probably have to go through like several different kinds.
Okay.
Because there's so many like different, so specific kinds of like videos like that.
Mm, okay.
You know, niggas cutting slime, niggas touching slime.
I like the way that those things look. And I like the way that they sound, but it's just not like
that tingly.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, I have not ever felt that notably, like probably like, you know, like things that I was doing and I just didn't realize that this was specifically that response. Mm-hmm. But watching those kinds of media, no, I've never felt that. Mm-hmm. I also don't like the way it sounds when people eat.
I don't like the eating ones. I like watching people eat good food though, because it makes me want to eat good food.
It's like, but I didn't know what that was until that one time we ate on Instagram Live. Mm-hmm. I think that was the very first time, because you mentioned it to me, and I was like, "What the fuck is that?" Like, people watch people eat, and then you told me like, "Oh, people watch people eat just for like fun." But then also, there's ASMR thing that was only like 2 years ago, so
yeah.
I'm new to this, not true to this. and on the porn realm, I'm not really into like porn anymore, like visually. A lot of times when I watch porn, I'm just like, grimace ass face. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why.
Okay.
At one point my taste changed to just like only being able to watch like homemade doggy style porn.
The doggy style specific is kind of funny to
me. Yeah, I don't know, because it had
very
no
niche. Okay.
It had no faces, and I think that was more enjoyable to me because it was just like ass and dick.
Okay.
I didn't have to actually look at anybody.
Okay.
But after a while, I just stopped watching that too. So I just be vibing. So when you pitched this, I was like, cool, maybe this could be, you know, a way to, even if I didn't get that ASMR feeling, it might just be a more enjoyable way to view porn.
Mm-hmm.
So the website I went to specifically was xconfessions.com/film/ASMR.
Mm-hmm.
That will be linked. And this is a film directed by Erica Lust, and she wanted to take on the challenge of capturing the sounds of sex. Because she said, like, you know, people don't really think about the sounds of sex. People don't consider it and try to heighten it. You know, it's just more about the action of having sex, but the sounds of sex play a lot into what happens during sex. And no, that's something that I've also never considered. So I'm going to spoil this porn. It starts out, the video starts out by describing ASMR. I have to say it that slowly because I cannot do that fast. In the way that I did simile before, but with Erica Lust, like whispering the description. She was using her ASMR voice. And she also had some interesting food choices. I think one was perhaps a papaya.
Okay.
And she was like stroking the seeds up. And it was
just very, a very coochie looking fruit.
It is very coochie looking. And it was just like very like, what if it wasn't a papaya? Maybe it was a guava. I don't know what fruits look like that aren't from like fucking Florida. But either way, it also like just looked weird though. It looked like teeth. I didn't really want to look too long. But also fingering meat of some sort.
Interesting. Of some sort. That's even more interesting. Now I'm like, kind of meat was it?
It looked like ham at one point.
Cooked?
Then it looked like cooked ham, but then it also looked like uncooked like shredded chicken. I don't know. It was. It also looked like a rose. It looked like a lot of different things. I didn't want to concentrate that hard. It was starting to bug me, but okay. It made some sexy sounds though.
Oh, nice.
And then it reminded me of a telephone operator. Because I know that, or not telephone operator. That
was phone sex operator?
Phone sex.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense now. I was like, huh?
That is so funny knowing that when you thought it was hero. But phone sex operators who use things.
Vaseline and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like drop things, like run water and stuff like that to like simulate sex sounds. And it made me wonder if, besides the obvious pornographic and sexual nature of it, if some men got, or some people who use those services got like similar like responses with ASMR because it's so sound specific. You know, it's a lot of whispering.
That's true.
Stuff. So
they're the OGs of ASMR. Facts. Apparently.
And that was like, so like, oh, cool. That's really cool to that's think about. Cool. Yeah. So the narration stopped after a couple of minutes and it went into two women, a white woman and a black woman. And they were whispering to each other. Like they had a microphone in the middle of them. So they were separated by a little bit. And the microphone had like an ear on one side, an ear on the other side. That was very cute. But they were whispering to each other through the microphone. And they were talking about how soft, because they were also like kind of touching each other, not like titties or like coochie or anything, just like touching each other's skin and their face, talking about how soft each other's skin were, how badly they want to kiss each other. And they look very into each other, even though they also kind of look like strangers. But it was very intimate. But that was the first and only time I felt that ASMR feeling. I felt the tingles beginning on my scalp, and then it went through my whole body, and then most notably I felt it at the top of my thighs and like by my knees.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, that's fucking weird. I'm like, I mean it happened, but I'm like, I don't know if I liked it that much, but like that was fucking awkward. But I guess it was awkward because I was thinking about it so much. But it was also like really pleasant. That was a really pleasant scene. And they started making out.
Nice.
And then the narrator goes back to more specific sounds, such as a vibrator like on a coochie, breathing, kissing. Like she's saying all like breathing, kissing, the sounds of a vibrator. And then we see that there's three people involved.
Oh, nice.
So then it goes back to more common porn. However, with spectacular lighting, you could even see like the ash on the black girl's butt. Like the lighting was pretty fucking like natural.
Couldn't oil my good sis a little bit?
It's because they had on like rubber skirts.
Okay.
Because of the sounds. Because a lot of rubber, like they used rubber skirts. At one point they had on rubber gloves. So when she was... one woman was pulling down the other woman's like skirt, it was just rubbing back and forth against her skin. I don't think much oil could have helped that after a while. And I was like, look, I get ashy too, so like get out here. And I wonder, like, do niggas be seeing my ash? But I'll be fucking with the lights off sometimes. Anyway, and then you typically didn't see two faces at once. You usually either saw the white woman and the black woman, or the black woman and the man. I don't think the white woman and the white and the man actually were together at any point in this porno.
Good. I'm not trying to see that shit.
No. The white woman. Oh, okay, cool. I didn't really. Anyway, I didn't really want to see like a whole bunch of white people, but that seems like the gist of the site. It looks like they don't. I scrolled through most of the videos. I didn't see two black people at any point in time. It was it was mostly black men and white women.
So what, is this black girl the token?
I don't know.
The ashy butt? That's what I'm saying. I don't think they tried to unash her butt.
I don't think they did too. She looked oiled up at the top.
Interesting.
But she didn't look oiled up at the bottom.
They never like read King Magazine grown up. They don't know that the oily booty is.
That's the
oily
key.
Booty is very,
that's a fucking very key. That is how the booty froze. Even if it's not a fat butt, if it's oily, that shit is fucked. So the shots were very close up to the point where you never really saw two faces at once unless they were kissing. So it's either one person's face in the dick, one person's face kissing some kind of body part. Not really a lot of just body parts, it was a lot of like face, but one face at a time. So that was really nice to see. Not a whole overall, like watching both people fucking each other. Very, very personal video. And Erica spends a lot of time trying to get the viewer to focus on what they are hearing and feeling. So that led me to believe that ASMR stimuli differs from person to person. And while I only found the women whispering to be stimulating, I'm sure somebody would find the whole production stimulating, but it probably doesn't help that I don't like porn like that. Like, I'm sure it doesn't really help. But, and that's probably why I only felt the tingles when the women weren't actually having sex. They were mm-hmm. just touching each other, whatever. So ASMR and sex. Serotonin, oxytocin, and dopamine are released during ASMR stimulation, which are the same chemicals that are released during sexual arousal. So mm-hmm. also ASMR is similar to mindfulness exercises because you're focusing on the present through sound. Because you're actively focusing on that sound or actively focusing on the task at hand, mm-hmm. Which keeps you here and now. Mm-hmm. So my question, do you enjoy whispering in your ear during sex?
Not the act of whispering itself, but the things that the person is saying to me, yes.
Okay. So have you ever had like somebody like bite your ear and like breathe into it? Like they were like so close to you. Yeah. Did it do anything for you?
No, sometimes it kind of like, sometimes whispering in my ear actually gives me this kind of reaction. Yeah. Like for people who can't see, I'm moving my neck towards my shoulder.
Does it like, feel like they're in your brain?
It's just kind of like scary. Just like, I didn't expect that. Or like, I don't usually hear things this close to me, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
What whispering in my ear sounds like when you put your mouth over a microphone.
Like this.
But you're.
Like this.
Yes. Like, it's just so fucking...
Hello?
But it's even more like maybe if you were to deep throat a mic and start trying to talk. Don't do that.
I'm not putting this in my mouth. Yeah, I'm not putting this in my mouth.
It sounds like what I sound like when I don't use the pop filter.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a... Because the sound is hitting your eardrum in directly, a different way.
Very
yeah.
directly. And yeah. to me, that's what ASMR sounds like. It sounds like sounds without a pop filter. Just straight up yeah. in your fucking brain. It's
very loud and incredibly close.
Isn't that a movie?
Never saw it, but I always thought the title was kind of funny. I think it's actually a sad film, but
it is actually very
extremely
sad
loud film. And incredibly close.
But I know that when I'm with like most of the guys that I slept with who were less about me, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. like less mm-hmm. like about like completely pleasing me, even though that has nothing to do with anything, but mm-hmm. those guys, if I were to bite their ear or whisper mm-hmm. in their ear, they would shake, like shiver mm-hmm. a little bit. And now like think about it, because the way that I felt that feeling, it's like it kind of makes you like move a little bit because it's like such a tingly feeling. And I mm-hmm. wonder if they were getting an ASMR response. Because mm-hmm. I have heard guys tell me like, oh, yo, like I didn't nut, but I felt like all of these like tingly feelings like up and down like my spine and shit. And So
you're the OG ASMR.
I mean, I'd be doing.
Is that with the R in ASMR?
I'm fucking dead.
Auto-sensory meridian Rob.
You're so silly. I like it. I don't need any more fucking nicknames. Add that to my fucking database of things that I call myself ASMR Rob. So now that you're a little bit more familiar with that feeling, could you ever like think of anything that triggers that response for you, whether sexually or not sexually? And that could be like somebody rubbing or touching a certain part of your body, like touching your knee, or like just gently like touching your booty, or breathing on the back of your neck, or putting their hands through your hair, like rubbing your scalp.
I'm going to be more mindful of the feeling and see if it comes up. Because uh-huh. if I say anything now, I feel like it's an implanted memory that I'm making up.
Like I truly,
there's nothing that's like, because like memory is like, you're not like remembering the thing as it happened. You're remembering what you took away from it. Mm-hmm. So nothing in my brain ever took away like, oh, that is the ASMR tingly yeah. feeling. So I could just like be linking pleasurable sensations with this false ASMR response.
You're absolutely
fine. So I don't want to say yes or no right now.
You're right.
But I will be more mindful and see if that comes up. Because does it happen to everybody?
Like, so that's the thing, too, is that it's not favorable for everybody. Some people can look at these videos and hear these sounds and get like a very icky you feeling, like it makes them uncomfortable. But a good majority of people, at least for some level, some people just have a neutral response, and it sounds like you have more of a neutral response, and then other people have a full-on ASMR response to some of these videos. And you know, it's not necessarily like that feeling feels like an orgasm, because it surely doesn't, even if you can feel it in your genitals, but it still feels, you know, pretty pleasurable. Now that I think about it, because I remember this one time, I think it was my first time ever making out with a girl, and I was like 15, and we were making out super hard. She's like pushing me on the wall and shit, and oh my God, we were going at it. And I felt something, now that I'm thinking about it, I felt what I felt watching that video, but I didn't know what it was. I never had an orgasm before, and I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, I don't feel like it was an orgasm. I didn't feel it in my like vagina, my clitoris. Yeah. I just felt this whole full body like tingly thing, and I felt like all weird and shit. But I think that was the only time that's really ever happened.
Wow. Shout out to her. Yeah, hope she's doing all right.
Yeah, fuck that bitch. But just kidding. Just not kidding. Anyway, but that was a great time. That was a great time. So, but you know, it wasn't really like it wasn't necessarily like a sexual thing. Because I didn't, at that time, I wasn't really feeling like very sexual at all. That was more of an asexual phase, but I did like making out. Because making out's fun. And it's a lot of sensory, because it's like, you know, of course, like the feeling, but it's a lot of sound, a lot of slurping, a lot of somebody talking into your fucking mouth. But no, I don't want to do that either. Like, fucking implant false memories in my head about some nigga giving me other feelings other than grief and sadness.
And then they hear it and they're like, oh shit, yeah, I got that ASMR, nigga.
You surely fucking don't. None of you niggas do. None of you niggas do. You niggas do not make me feel anything but just sadness and distress.
Focus on yourself, bro.
But you should check it out, though.
I will watch it.
I mean, it's worth a try. I think it's worth a try. See if it's smacking. I do wish I felt something in other portions of it. Because that one part, I was like, oh shit, like, I can beat my meat right now. But the rest of it, I was like, I just don't want to.
So you just need more of that then?
Yeah, but it was like, I don't know if, because honestly, that fucking subscription was like pretty incredulous. We paid a good amount of money just to watch one video. You can't purchase videos. But all this content, all of that content is behind paywalls. Like they're not like out, like as far as like pornographic ASMR content. So I don't really want to, I don't know if I'm trying to spend like hundreds of fucking bucks to see if what's smacking and what's not. But if I ever find some,
maybe there are some like ASMR OnlyFans creators.
There are. There are. I'd have to see. That's actually a big community.
Oh, wow.
But I'd have to see what those paywalls are looking like, because sometimes those OnlyFans are just as much as this fucking video. I don't blame them for the bag, but we are in a pandemic, Lovato. Niggas gotta be careful.
You gotta budget accordingly. Facts. Sometimes ASMR porn is not in your budget.
Nah, it's not in the budget.
You got ASMR porn money? Because we got crab legs at home or something like that.
I might get some crab legs today. But I mean, I think it would be worth exploring with a partner, though. Like those things, especially because now I know that whispering scene, like two people sitting in front of each other and whispering to each other without like making out and shit. I think that was like super duper sexy. So I think exploring those kinds of things. I'm not really into touch like that, like soft touches. They fucking legit, like, oh, I always get that, like, not a fun shiver, like a please don't do that shiver. But I think the whispering in the air kind of thing, and really try to concentrate on the because it wasn't really the moans. I don't think it was a ton of moaning, but she was slapping the shit out that nigga. I was like, yeah, and I was hearing the slaps. That was like the best part. I'm like, yeah, slap that white boy. Slap that nigga right in fucking mouth. She's like slapping his lip.
Oh wow.
Like
this.
And I'm like, yeah, slap them little ass lips. But check it out. If you do check it out in a non descript horny way, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Because my DMs be wild. I don't really
I came 15 times.
Immediately. And then your face popped into my head and then I came again. Don't want to hear shit like that. But I do want to hear if you felt some kind of ASMR response if you decide to sign up for that shit. Because I do not blame you if you don't.
Some niggas got ASMR porn money. Yeah. Okay. So that will be linked in the show notes for this episode. Thank you for that, Rob. That was really, really interesting.
Yo, porn for research.
Porn for research. Well, let's do more of that. Are there any other porns that you'd like us to review?
Yes, put them.
But they have to be like, they have to be a bit unique.
They have to
Can't just be like, watch sex and talk about it, hoes.
Because that website, I thought it was going to be like a whole lot of like unique things like that. They're all like very film-like, like with plots and stuff. But they just looked so theater-esque. And then they didn't have black people.
Now you're back.
Nah, if it was just two black people, I would have been here with it. You know, I told you my fucking, well, you heard my fantasy on the Horrible Decisions podcast. I would love to see a porn like that.
Yeah.
I would love that. Like, just something like we not even having sex was just like, we just
bathe me.
Yeah, you taking care of me. Look at you fucking running my bath water and you got the towel waiting for me and you carry my ass out the door and you fucking take off my shoes. Like, that's
either enough. Rob just wants intimate porn.
Yes. Make that. Make that and have me review it. That's
very understandable. Well, if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good in a good way, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InHo Uprising without the G on Twitter, InHo Uprising with the G on Instagram, whoa, and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook crew. That's true. Our Facebook crew, fuck it. That works. By searching InHo Uprising Community, that's CUMMUNITY. And it says spell it out in all caps because it's very important that you type in CUMMUNITY. And it's important that you sing UNITY
while you're doing it.
Because
yeah,
we need Queen Latifah to come here and pestle with us. And you could head to
a hashtag for that. Come through, Queen
Latifah, please come through and pestle with me. Hashtag. And you could head to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe.
Where can we follow you, Rob?
You can follow me at Smoking Peepee on Instagram and the_body on Twitter.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse. Hashtag Dana Owens come through. It's Queen Latifah's real name.
Oh, for real? I'm fucking dead. I did not know that. Then dumb blew her up.
Our government come the fuck through. All right, everybody, have a good week because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye.
Bye.